Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. We're learning more about a 19-year-old Nazi sympathizer who plowed through metal barriers to try to reach the White House. CBS's Nicole D'Antonio has details.
A law enforcement official tells CBS News the driver flew to D.C. from Missouri Monday, rented the truck at the airport, and drove here to the White House.
Multiple law enforcement sources said the suspect appeared to be emotionally disturbed. Among the charges he's facing, assault with a dangerous weapon, reckless operation of a motor vehicle, and threatening to kill, kidnap, inflict harm on a president, vice president, or family member.
He told police his goal was to get to the White House, seize power, and be put in charge of the nation. Tensions are high on Capitol Hill, where House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's fighting for more spending cuts before signing off on a debt deal.
People have spent too much money, and the Democrats want to even spend more than we spent last year. That is not going to happen.
But the closer we get to that June 1st default deadline, the more concern there won't be a deal. CBS's Jared Hill.
Concerns over the impasse have moved beyond Washington, from Wall Street.
This debt ceiling debate is bringing and leading uncertainty in the market
to Main Street.
I don't like living like this.
Default would have devastating consequences. The Surgeon General warns social media can cause serious harm to kids. Dr. Celine Gounder agrees.
Social media normalizes self-harming behavior, eating disorders, bullying, and other harmful behavior.
Federal health officials are urging tech companies to step up now and safeguard kids. A shocking investigation out of Illinois shows hundreds of Catholic clergy members abused thousands of children for decades. Attorney General Kwame Raoul.
It is my sincere hope that this report will shine light on those who violated their positions of power and trust to abuse innocent children, and on the men in church leadership who covered up that abuse.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will make his big 2024 announcement on Twitter. CBS's Aaron Navarro.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis plans to announce he is running for president on Wednesday night during a live appearance on Twitter with the platform's owner, Elon Musk. There will also be a launch video from DeSantis' campaign, followed by trips to early presidential primary states after Memorial Day.
A tragic warning from the CDC.
C is for kooky. That's good enough for me.
18 people have gotten sick throughout six states from a salmonella outbreak. Nine of them reported eating raw cookie dough from Papa Murphy's, which is headquartered in Vancouver and sold in the U.S.
CBS's Matt Piper says two of those people had to be hospitalized. So if you're eating raw cookie dough, don't. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
The Dell Technologies Summer Sale event is on with limited quantity deals on top tech. Save on select PCs powered by the latest Intel Core processors like thin and light XPS 13 laptops, Inspiron laptops, and 2-in-1s. Plus get savings on select accessories, free shipping, and monthly payment options with Dell Preferred Account. It's the perfect season to power your passions during Dell's Summer Sale event. Save today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Offered to U.S. residents by WebBank, who determines qualifications for and terms of credit.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
OneTussle has been your trusted rural internet provider since 2003. Based in Wisconsin and backed by local support, OneTussle brings high-speed internet where others can't or won't. At an honest price, without any contracts or data caps, OneTussle has the plan that's right for you. Get connected with OneTussle today for internet, cellular, and entertainment by calling 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924. Or visit btussle.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 51. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 63. Tomorrow, overcast. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows around 38. Clear skies Thursday with daytime highs approaching 66. 73 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 80.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
The twins from practice.
But on the way, we hit a giant pothole.
Over on...
If you are 45 and older, don't let butt stuff get in the way of your screening. Visit the Colorectal Cancer Alliance at ccalliance.org.
But then...
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, welcome back. Tuesday night, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Johnny Lupinacci moving, stuck in a moving van somewhere. Evan, you know how it is when you try to move your apartment 1 mile down the road. You can't find anybody who's reliable to get your stuff there. Johnny, we miss you. We'll see you next week. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Teaching and learning in hostile times. I used to have a blog on Google in 2008. And I called it that. That was the title of my blog in Google, Teaching and Learning in Hostile Times in 2008. I look back at 2008 now and I'm like, wow, we were free back in 2008. What was I thinking, teaching and learning in hostile times? Because today, man, where are we today? Hostile times. I don't know. Stuff is being banned, outright banned. To be taught in grade school, to be taught in middle school, to be taught in high school, to be taught in college. How do we ban information? Are these, you know, heretical insanities that will ignite the population into some kind of dystopian rebellion? What is it about the banning of teaching certain things right now that has gotten into certain politicians' waters, particularly Florida? Well, we have one person, and I'm just going to quote, I'm a professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. Check that out in the Daily Beast. Our guest tonight, Will Horn, he's the Arthur J. Ennis postdoctoral scholar at Villanova University who writes about the relationship of race to labor, freedom, and capitalism during construction and Jim Crow. He holds a PhD in history from the George Washington University and is co-founder and editor of the Activist History and Review. Will, Dr. Will, welcome to Busted Pencils. How is it going over there in Philadelphia tonight?
It's a beautiful night, and I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so I'm a professor, right? And Florida just banned everything I teach. I already made the announcement. You're a Villanova. You're in Philadelphia. Somebody's going up there right now going, but you don't even teach in Florida, dude. So you didn't, nothing was banned. Explain, what do you mean banned? You can't teach in Florida. Give us a little bit. I mean, the Daily Beast, what is this stuff?
Sure. Yeah. So that's right. I don't teach in Florida. I'm not claiming to teach in Florida. But Florida has banned all of the subject matter that I teach. And as someone who lives outside of Florida, and I'm very grateful to, you know, teach at a great institution who you know, they are very supportive of me and my work. I think it's important for me to speak out for people who maybe are worried about their jobs, right? I know a lot of scholars in Florida, a lot of educators who are very concerned about their jobs. And I've reached out to several of them to try and connect them with interviews recently for various publications. And unfortunately, they're concerned that if they speak out about what they are experiencing, right, or the concerns that they have about how you deliver content when in fact, you know, the 3/4 of the content of your class has been essentially banned by the state. You know, how does one do that, right? But they're concerned, of course, that they're going to be fired if they speak out. And so, you know, part of the reason that I decided to write this is because I teach, you know, predominantly Black history in the U.S., a good bit of U.S. history, you know, and some broader world history. And so this is stuff that, again, the Florida bill touches on. And I am a little bit freer, I think, than maybe some people in Florida to speak out about the impact of these things for students. And so this is really kind of the basis of my article, is that, look, students really want to learn this stuff. You know, I taught high school for a number of years back in Louisiana. You know, I taught at a couple of different universities. Every single time I've taught this type of content, students are hungry for more, you know, and every single time, regardless of grade level, you know, or, you know, in this case, university level, they have often shared that they hadn't experienced that previously, that this has been something that had been missing, you know, from their education experience that helped them make sense of the world. That's really important. And so that's why I think it's really important to write something like this.
I don't know. I mean, you're talking about the fact that kids want to know this. They enjoy learning this. That to me sounds like reason enough that we should keep it away from them, because we know that anytime somebody wants to know something, that something they know is probably going to end up disastrous. OK, enough of the funny talk. Well, no, I mean, we're here. Johnny's not here tonight, but, you know, we've talked about this many times over the years, the you know, the freedom to teach and learn. And yeah, you're not in Florida, but to point out the fact that I'm a professor, Florida just banned everything I teach. And I just want to read from the piece in the Daily Beast for a sure. Second quote. Writing during the apartheid regime of Jim Crow, famed historian and founder of Black History Month, Carter G. Woodson observed that the philosophy and ethics resulting from our educational system have justified slavery, peonage, segregation, and lynching. That system is exactly what Governor Ron DeSantis has tried to resurrect in signing SB 266 into law, a whitewashing tactic that has historically coincided with white supremacist violence in the U.S. All right, we're not going to get to white supremacist violence just yet. There, Will, but sure. Okay. So Woodson was observing at that time schools actually doing the work of teaching racism, of teaching segregation. Are you saying that what you are not allowed to teach now is that you're not allowed to teach that, hey, Carter Woodson said that?
Sure. I mean, yeah, if we're starting with basics, that's a basic that I would, you know, again, if we're looking at the Florida law, if we're looking at similar legislations, you know, similar legislation or, you know, executive actions in various states, you know, across the U.S., that would be difficult to teach and that might put you, you know, in some place of liability, you know, relative to the state.
It's what's interesting about that, right? I just said, yeah, it's a fact. Okay, this yeah. was a quote that was actually done, you know, said, and the reality of the quote, okay, is that now maybe somebody would say that sounds like critical race theory. Although I'm pretty positive that anybody who's officially participated in the banning of CRT really has no idea what it is they're banning anyway. Really, though, what they are trying to ban is to say this story of saying, hey, people have been observing for quite a long time, particularly that our education system can tend to, and in fact, in certain places, can be very segregationist, very historically racially biased, and the curriculum itself can do lots of injustice to kids and families. And somebody would say, well, we're beyond that now, Will. We don't need to teach that anymore. Maybe it's a fact, but what purpose is it in bringing up the fact that in the past schools used to teach racism?
Sure. Yeah, that's not a great question.
Teach racism, but teach essentially people how to be racist.
Yeah. And we can go back, you know, we could look at those textbooks, right? And there are just some really gobsmacker of lines in there. But they're not all that different from what you see, for example, in the quote unquote, like American birthright curriculum. I don't know if you've seen this or not, you know, but it's associated with Christopher Rufo. And I make the case, and I think it's pretty clear that, in fact, this is inspiring some of the legislation that we're seeing at the state level in terms of what is being required to teach, you know, and the sort of the quote unquote, like Western values, you know, and that kind of thing. But I guess, you know, the reason that it's so important is that, like, you know, we, even if we're not, let's say, even if teachers are not teaching kids, as you put it, like how to be racist, right? If you're omitting what actually happened in the past in your classroom instruction, then what you're actually doing is depriving students of the ability to understand the world that they're moving through. You know, I give some examples in the article, like a prominent one in our public discourse is redlining. You're not going to understand the reasons that our neighborhoods are very segregated and remain segregated today if you don't have any concept, right, of redlining. And so you might come away, and I've had students share with me ideas, right, sort of spitballing ideas, both in high school, you know, in the college level that, oh, well, maybe, you know, like, this group just wanted to be by itself, or maybe this group just didn't work so hard, right? And so that's why they have to live in this area, right? But that's not the case at all, right? In fact, we know, like, it was a part of U.S. law and a part of U.S. Public policy that created the segregated neighborhoods that we see today, you know? And so if we're talking about, like, you know, it depending upon what city you're in, right? Like, if you're talking about this neighborhood over here is very dangerous, right? Then in part, like, what you're talking about is, in fact, like, you know, an expression of this longstanding decades and decades and decades of US policy. And so if we're not teaching students that stuff, right? If we're not teaching students what actually creates the world that we inhabit today, then what we are doing, in fact, is leaving those questions open and sort of wink nodding, suggesting that, in fact, you know, there must be something wrong with those people in that neighborhood, right? And that's, you know, one of the real dangers.
Well, and you know, I'm not even sure it's a wink and a nod anymore, to be honest.
Sure.
We're talking about Chris Rufo. I mean, you know, he's always listening to Busted Pencils. He just never calls in, you know, but it's just the way it is. You know, he doesn't want to deal with Johnny and me. And now, God forbid, he would call in and join us tonight, 844-967-2789. But, you know, when you point out that curriculum, you know, American birthright and stuff. So when we talk about what's being banned, we have to also then put in a measure of making sure people understand, and what's replacing,
okay, that's right,
the ban is a curriculum, not, you know, based on, and this is the kind of weird part, is it's a curriculum that is largely fantasy, potentially maybe positively aspirational, if sort of like that, but we're mandating. We are mandating fiction, fantasy, and patriotism, and we're taking away truth. How do we do that? It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number's 844-967-2789. Our guest tonight, Dr. Will Horn. He is at Villanova. We're talking about his piece. I'm a professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. When we get back, we're going to, you know, go into a little bit of white supremacy. Busted Pencils, back after the break.
Did you know one in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the best Superstart battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays with WFHR.halfoffdeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and more. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on another great local business. This week's deal is from Papa John's in Stevens Point. Get a $50 gift card for just $25. That's right, 50 for just 25 from Papa John's in Stevens Point. What's better than pizza? Papa John's at half price. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at WFHR.halfoffdeal.com.
Hi, it's Jim Polzine from Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Have you checked out BadgerExtra.com or the Badger Extra app powered by our top-notch Badger coverage team? Subscribe now to get extra coverage, including extra analysis, extra recruiting news, and one-on-one athlete interviews. Plus, subscribers get my exclusive podcast, Open Gym, where I answer your Badger questions. Go to BadgerExtra.com or search Badger Extra in your app store. Download and subscribe today.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Go Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Dr. Will Horn, his piece in the Daily Beast. I'm a professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. We're talking about, you know, this whole idea of legislating. You know, and here we're talking about American history, and we're being very specific here. There's a lot of things that are included in this, but Will, you know, we were talking during the break, you know, and kind of pointing this out right as we were coming into to the end of last segment. Paying attention to what's being banned is really important, because you say, you know, things like redlining, yes, banned, right? But redline happened for real. It really did. I know, but it's banned because it might make somebody uncomfortable. And therefore, that word uncomfortable is the kind of, you know, pressure gauge that says, oh, that's a banned material. As soon as somebody says I'm uncomfortable, you know, we're talking about American history. But then paying attention to the curriculum that replaces what's being banned and seeing then the, you know, a very whitewashed, westernized, patriotic march to the celebration of America has done nothing except be awesome.
Right.
And you'd sit there and go, yeah, well, I can hear, you know, potentially my grandfather is not here anymore going, well, that's what they taught us. And I turned out just fine. You know, what do we need to be teaching all this other stuff for? You know, stall in the past. Why are we talking? It's like, no, but what's in the past also is the fact that what we, quote, used to teach you, granddad, wasn't true then. And now we absolutely, it's not like we didn't know then, but now we have curriculum materials. And you said, what is the purpose of teaching and learning is not to quote, you know, and I'm going to use their line, the woke warriors. They're the ones who are doing the indoctrinating when we look at what's being replaced by what they're saying, what is being banned. Tell me a little bit more about some of the alternative curriculum that is, quote, acceptable under the new Ron DeSantis. And it's not just Ron DeSantis. It's, as you point out, 36 different states have done something and or similar. My state here in Ohio just last week passed Senate Bill 86, which is, you know, it's the Florida bill here, you know. So, yeah, it's not just Florida. But let's talk a little bit about that, you know, quote, alternative or supplemental or the curriculum to use in place of truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so there's a lot of talking about, like, you know, the quote unquote founders. There's a lot of talking about, like, that, you know, the U.S. is a Christian nation. It's founded on Christian principles. There's actually a lot of really broad stuff because it actually gets kind of dangerous when you get down into the specifics, even of the founders. Like, even if you were to look at just the Declaration of Independence, like sort of the first founding document, there's a reference there to, like, you know, a frustration with Great Britain because, you know, allegedly they, like, forced the colonies to have slavery, which is absurd. And you know, there's a sort of an accusation there that they, you know, aren't doing enough to, like, eradicate, you know, indigenous people, you know, in and around the 13 colonies. This is in the founding documents, right? So when you actually, like, start to look carefully, even at what is being mandated, right, then you cross the line. And so it isn't even just that, like, you know, you can't teach about slavery, you can't teach about redlining, you can't even actually teach the actually existing Declaration of Independence. You can read the first little bit. You can't teach the whole thing.
I'm going to say, I mean, that's kind of what you're saying. It's like, well, wait, well, no one reads that part anyway. We all, I mean, that's, you know, kind of like subtext, footnote, you know, we would, you know, because, yeah, you'll hear this, you know, because, and I'm glad to hear you, you know, you start out as a social studies teacher. I'm a social studies person. Johnny, who's co-host, is a social studies person. We look at this and we were, you know, we probably came at this from the point of view of going, it's just like, man, even myself finding out for the first time the things that I hadn't been taught. And feeling the passion come over, not of anger, of frustration, of sadness, of guilt, of going, man, I want to know more. I want to know more. But when we're talking about this mandated, you know, the first two paragraphs of the Declaration of Independence and that only,
right?
It's like we're stripping away and saying, don't look. And in fact, it's not like we're saying, don't look closely. Don't read closely. Don't think just here's what it is that matters. We've decided this already for you. How the heck? This is radio, so we got to use that word heck. How in the heck are people walking around talking about this as if this is a move towards setting people free?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a move for empowering some people, those people who already have power. Right. But if we're wanting to understand how the world actually works, if we're wanting to understand things that actually happen, this curriculum isn't going to do that. And in fact, it's designed to keep that from happening. And I think that's really important. You know, the people who are designing this, they I think do, in fact, know our history. I really think they do. I think they do actually have sort of an accurate understanding of the, you know, legacies of inequality, of racism, you know, sexism, all of the isms, right? And it's in their interests to keep everyone else from knowing about those things because they're the ones who actually benefit from those systems. And yeah, that sounds like CRT, and that's fine. But you know what? That's just true. So it is what it is.
Yeah, critical race theory. So we're going to be whatever. I'm going back to the post today. You know, the post in the Daily Beast, and I'm quoting you again, Will. While myths and fables about the greatness of the founders, enslavers, and segregationists might make some Americans feel better about their country, they misrepresent the problems we have as a society. Chronic intergenerational poverty and resource-deprived neighborhoods might seem like an individual failure, for example, until you learn about the sprawling system of segregated opportunities from redlining and sundown towns to the ongoing efforts to keep schools segregated and underfunded. In fact, those racist systems not only produce wealth inequality, but also created a whole host of problems that we face from chronic flooding to never-ending traffic jams. When we get back, Busted Pencil.
Sometimes the truth hurts.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This is the story of a very special woman.
In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council. If you talk,
they will hear you. We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how. And we tell them with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. Not just one time, but every chance we get. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids not only need to know the dangers and how to avoid them, they need to hear it often from you. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids and guide them through the challenges of growing up safe and healthy. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. So talk, they hear you.
You can do it if you try. It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy skies tonight with lows around 51. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 63. Tomorrow, overcast. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows around 38. Clear skies Thursday with daytime highs approaching 66. 73 Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 80.
HowItBelongingBeginsWithUs.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
That's what we do every Tuesday night, any way you want it. Well, sometimes, as long as you want it the way I want it, that's the way you'll get it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. The number is 844-967-2789. Evan, we ready to roll that special audio clip here? For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, Ron DeSantis, take it away.
I think what you see now with the rise of this woke ideology is an attempt to really delegitimize our history and to delegitimize our institutions. And I view the wokeness as a form of cultural Marxism. They really want to tear at the fabric of our society and our culture.
Oh, Will, our guest is Dr. Will Horn. He is the Arthur J. Ennis postdoctoral scholar at Villanova. His piece in the Daily Beast, "I'm a Professor, Florida Just Banned Everything I Teach."
Okay, I saw, you know, anybody who's listening, you will, we can see each other on Zoom. So I saw your eyes do a little flutter in your face listening to Governor DeSantis. What specifically caught you there?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot to unpack.
That's 20 seconds.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think like the reference to the anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, the cultural Marxism, I mean, this is really, that's quite something from a sitting U.S. governor. Not that surprising. It's been a staple of, you know, sort of Republican discourse for a bit now. But I mean, the idea, though, that teaching our past as it actually happened is somehow dangerous to us as a country. I think, again, like this honestly is insulting because I think, you know, my students, my neighbors, my parents, they can understand things. That doesn't mean that, you know, that they're going to, I don't know, what's the threat? Move to Canada? I don't understand what the danger is here, but.
Well, think about that, though, too. You know, I get this and go, it's like, okay, he identifies it. I mean, you know, in one sense, you know, really good at kind of turning the argument into going where people go. I mean, a great reframer. So the point is that he is fighting ideology. That's the word he uses, is that because me, Ron DeSantis, I am now fighting ideology. And it's like, well, dude, you know, people hear that and go, well, that's great because we don't want that in our schools. We don't want ideology. But the reality, again, back to going, wait, so your fight against ideology is forbidding teaching and learning truth and reality.
Yeah.
You know, like that to me just continually amazes me to say, and how does it not fall apart right after he makes an announcement, I'm going after ideology by mandating ideology?
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I guess, you know, that's sort of is the trap, right? That, you know, they don't see it as an ideology, you know, and I mean, we've seen this in other regimes too, but the sort of the idea of American exceptionalism that we're like the best all the time, right? You know, is something that is woven into our history and into our society. It's really dangerous. Like it actually hurts people and it historically has killed many people. You know, but I think that's kind of like what he's referring back to though, is that like anything that is critical of this sort of like, you know, commonly held ideology, right? And I think that's a sort of a set of ideas that many of us, you know, on the left and on the right identify with, that the U.S. is a really great place and, mm-hmm. you know, that it's really special. And it is, you know.
It is. Look, you yeah. and I are, we are doing this right now without government censorship. So the reality yeah. is it's, we are in a great place, right? And yeah. and Chris Rufo, I know you're listening. So there. we're not saying that this is a crappy place and we don't want to live here anymore. We just actually would like to keep living here.
That would be really great.
You know, but there it is. You know, we put it out there again. One of the other things, so, and you write this in your piece, and I'll just again, another quote from the Daily Beast. I can't recall a single student sharing feelings of personal guilt or shame, although that would be totally fine. After having learned about the systems of oppression and exploitation that shaped our world. Okay, you're talking about college students. I remember teaching fifth grade. Yes, I used to teach fifth grade also, and teaching that same type of, whoa, I didn't know that Mr. Schlecker at the time.
Yeah.
And the idea, none of them had, it was a sense of, it's learning. There's no shame in learn, you know?
Yeah.
So I just like the student perspective. How many, I mean, yeah. Talk about the students you've met and how they react to what you teach.
Sure. Yeah. And so I
talk to wait, that yeah. ideology you teach. Okay.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no. And so, I mean, this is something we were talking about over the break too, but I assign a lot of primary documents. So that is like documents from the past that students can look at themselves. And I think they find that really powerful, right? Because now they have an artifact, and this can help them gain a window of understanding. I'm not just going up there and saying, hate America. This would be an absurd way to teach, and no one would benefit from this, right?
Right,
you know, no one, literally no one does this. You know, but my experience with my students has been overwhelmingly positive, both in high school at the undergraduate and graduate levels, because people want to learn. They want to understand the world better. And they want to do better for themselves. They want to do better for their communities. And so learning something new is not something that, you know, sometimes they object to like the amount of reading, because we read a lot, you know, that's fine. You know, yeah. Sometimes they object that like maybe there's one too many essays, you know, and again, that's totally, you know, but no one is coming in and saying, I had to learn something and it made me feel terrible. And now
I was up all night. I was distressed.
Exactly. This isn't a thing. Yeah.
No, I had that. I mean, I think about that, you know, when I was teaching my social studies methods class, and when I was a professor, one of my key texts at the time, along with lots of other research, but I'd have a content, and you know, I'd use Howard Zinn's book, right, is one of my key texts just to read. And the number of students who never felt guilt or shame about what they learned. In fact, though, I can remember quite a few feeling guilty that they hadn't learned this in the past. Yeah. There was a more of an anger and an upsetness of going, how is it that I got to be a junior in college and I'm now just reading this book that Howard Zinn wrote in 1980?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, the community where I encountered that the most, to be honest with you, I taught in a predominantly Black high school, and the students there had not had any kind of Black history at all. And I think many of them felt embarrassed. Some of them had some understanding from family or from, elders or whatever. Others had not, you know, and so some of them felt really embarrassed about sort of like not, you know, quote unquote, like knowing their own history or whatever. But the truth is, like, this is the responsibility of, you know, the people in charge of the schools and parents, right? And I think, you know, when we're talking about like people who quote unquote feel bad about learning new things, who we're actually talking about is those people. We're talking about parents, we're talking about grandparents. Those are the people who have sort of like decades of rubber left on the road, who have a lot invested in this system, you know, and now to sort of learn, like, this is really pretty harmful, actually. I think that's really the demographic that's actually pushing back, right?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, because yeah, this whole idea, the kids are all right. Okay, leave them alone. Let them do what they do. The David Bowie, you know, these children that you spit on as they make their ways, you know, they're fine. They know, you adults, it's you guys who have the problems. It's a different generation. The kids are like, I just want to keep learning. And in fact, now I'll go back into saying at the heart of trying to say what it is we do as a profession, which is a teacher. You know, you're a professor of history, I'm a professor of education, but we're teachers, and our passion and our purpose is to open the world up and to create an inspiration for students to learn. And that does not come through when you mandate, in one sense, regurgitate an inaccurate factual ensemble of misdates and things to tell a story of patriotic bliss, when the reality is that the patriotic story that's really, really powerful is that the idea of this democracy in education, the idea that you have the freedom to teach and learn, the ability, that is when, you know, Rufo, I'm not making fun of the American system. I'm lifting it up and celebrating it and saying that was its strength, was the reality that it could always go back and be critical of itself. And in fact, we were required to do the deep learning. I don't know. I mean, you got me going tonight, Will.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I think that's really the power of education. It is ultimately, you know, an empowerment. It's a tool of democracy, right? And so, you know, it's a point I make in the piece, but, you know, it's no accident, right, that we see sort of these whitewashing bills, you know, and these education suppression bills, these book banning bills, at the same time that we're also seeing education suppression movements, at the same time that we're seeing attacks on protesters, and in fact, like, Republican governors in Abbott and in DeSantis glorifying people who have shot or strangled, you know. Right. I mean, this is really running off the rails quite quickly. But you can see very clearly the connection between democracy, you know, and education. When we start to look at this larger picture of what these politicians are supporting beyond these bans.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's like, look, you can't ban inconvenient truths. OK, you don't have democracy when you are the one mandating indoctrination of a story that you only want people to hear that version of that story. You can't have a functioning democracy if you have an education system that is built on a mandate of indoctrinated lies, those lies that typically hold up, as you say, well, systems of oppression that have been around for a long time. And there I go doing that CRT type of stuff, Will, right? I mean, I look at this, you know, we had Diane Ravitch on a couple of weeks ago. I say, this is an attack on democracy. This is, right. You know, forget about the facts that it's saying we're not allowed to teach. Pay attention. This is an attack on the freedom of a people to govern themselves. This is an attack on the American way of life. I'm sorry. There you go. Patriotic America. Here I am. The American way of life is under assault. Freedom, democracy, under assault. And you have people like Dr. Will, Johnny Lupinacci, who took the night off tonight, me, Evan in the control room. We're trying to protect democracy. Will, last thoughts before we close up and I let you get back to your night.
Yeah, I think the stakes are really high. I know we didn't have a chance to touch too much on the threat of white supremacy. But again, you know, as I was mentioning earlier, you know, we see these types of education suppression movements going alongside major threats. One of them is an uptick, you know, a major surge often in white supremacist violence. This is something we need to be really watchful of and really engaged to prevent.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he is Dr. William Horn, the Arthur J. Ennis postdoctoral scholar at Villanova University, writes about the relationship of race to labor, freedom, and capitalism during Reconstruction and Jim Crow. He holds a PhD in history from the George Washington University and is co-founder and editor of the Activist History Review. He's now going to be joining the alumni of awesome guests who have been on Busted Pencils that can really drop some truth bombs for people who need to hear it. His piece, check it out in the Daily Beast, I Am a Professor. Florida just banned everything I teach. Dr. Horn, thank you for busting pencils with us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
And when we get back, Tim will break it down. Back after the break.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're
we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This time next week, I'll be sick in bed with West Nile virus, thanks to a mosquito bite right in front of my house.
In 8 minutes, my daughter will be in an ambulance, having an asthma attack, triggered by cockroaches.
I'm going to be bitten by a tick today. I won't even know it until Lyme disease turns my life upside down.
Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
There, online, on your smart speaker, and on the Civic Media app.
Give us time. Soon we'll be broadcasting directly to your brain. This is The Shaw.
Number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Thank you again to our guest, Dr. William Horn, history professor at Villanova. His piece in the Daily Beast, "I'm a Professor, Florida Just Banned Everything I Teach." Man, we were breaking it down, the difference between what is indoctrination. We had Ron DeSantis. Evan, if you're here paying attention, can we play that again? Just that one more round there. You know, Governor DeSantis does such a good job of making my point. Okay, Governor DeSantis, tell us what's bothering you.
I think what you see now with the rise of this woke ideology is an attempt to really delegitimize our history and to delegitimize our institutions. And I view the wokeness as a form of cultural Marxism. They really want to tear at the fabric of our society and our culture.
That was
well, there it is. There it is. Ideology. And, you know, as Dr. Horn and I were talking about the reality of the ban, and we look at what's, you know, what is being banned in Florida. We look at what's being banned in actually 36 states all over the place. It's not ideology that's being banned. These aren't warriors going after woke indoctrinators. These are ideologues who are actually doing the indoctrination by banning truth, by literally saying content that we know is factual is now not permissible to be taught. That right there is the definition of indoctrination, forcing lies, forcing non-truth, forcing a certain story to be the only story that's taught. That's the nonsense that we're putting forth. So when Ron DeSantis tells you that he's a woke warrior fighting ideology and indoctrination, people, we need to wake up. You know, I don't care if you like him, but you know, are you in fact in favor of the government mandating ideology, of the government empowering and in fact mandating schools become ideological factories to indoctrinate kids about America? That is really a mythology, okay? Is really a mythology where everything is wonderful and happy. You know, I know DeSantis is going after Florida right now, been Disneyland and things like that. But, you know, I mean,
it's a Disney movie. It's really weird that DeSantis is attacking Disney. Most of my criticism over the years has been about the inaccurate storytelling that Disney does. You would think maybe DeSantis would actually, you know, kind of be in partnership with saying, Disney, please bring more of, you know, these really awesomely illustrated, incredibly, imaginative, creative, graphic masterpieces that just don't really tell the whole story. How he's not, you know, supporting and in fact giving them even more tax breaks, I don't know, because that was the past. However, a little bit of an aside there, you know, if you are a warrior, let's not worry about a woke warrior. If you're a warrior for America, if you're a warrior for freedom, if you're a patriot, if you bleed red, white, and blue, democracy, freedom, you can't get behind a DeSantis, a Chris Rufo, a Donald Trump, an anybody who is supportive of any type of banning of certain materials that are truthful and then mandating certain materials that aren't truthful. Unless you are not for freedom, the only way you can support that move, those types of policies, is if you don't believe in freedom, if you don't believe in the promise of America, if you don't believe in democracy. Well, I guess then you have found your people and your ideology, because there has, boy, never been a clear case of incredible ideology on display right now than all of these attempts to, quote, go after wokeness. Man, that is the ideology. And that's what we do here, though, every week. Every week, busted pencils. We're busting pencils, telling the truth, making sure that the reality of teaching and learning in this country remains free. Free, the freedom to learn. There is nothing more democratic. There is nothing more patriotic than fighting for the ability to learn, for fighting for the ability to teach. Nothing, you know, and that's what we're doing here. You know, Johnny's not here tonight. We'll give him the night off. But, you know, we have guests, Dr. Will Horn, you know, Alfie Cohn, Diane Ravitch, you name it. They've been here. They've been talking about this. Wake up. And if you already know what I'm saying, great. I love it. Thank you. Go out and talk to your neighbor, though. Help your neighbor understand. Don't make fun of them. Don't belittle them. Talk to them realistically about the fact, do they understand that they're supporting nothing to do with freedom, nothing to do with democracy, nothing to do with valuing American patriotism? They are supporting ideological indoctrination. They are the ones against freedom. You can't support a mandate of fiction and a stripping of truth. You can't be for freedom if that's what you stand by. You can't do that. Talk to your neighbor. Help them bust some pencils. Take some pencils over to them. Let them break a few. Bust them. Throw them around. Talk a little bit more about this. Spend some time and, you know, get to know your neighbor. Talk about how you both love freedom. You love freedom. He loves freedom. She loves freedom. It's Busted Pencils. We love freedom. We'll see you next week. Busted Pencils, fully leaded.
Want more Busted next week. Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils, or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Matt Damon on Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on...
And we're live here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.